So in Revelation 22:17, John the writer writes this verse, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him who hears, come. And let him who is athirst, come. And whosoever desires, let him come and take the water of life freely." The title of my message today is The Water of Life. This same writer, John, will be writing the Gospel of John, and that's where we'll go today, the Gospel of John, chapter 4. Gospel of John was written, it's an evangelistic book. It's written so people may come to know Jesus, the Messiah, and they would get everlasting life. That's the whole purpose of the Gospel of John. It's the only book in the Bible written for everlasting life. That's what it's written. It's written to unbelievers, that they may come to know Jesus and his gift of eternal life. John, reflecting on that verse I just read to you, probably later on in his life, come and take the water of life freely. Probably from this account we're going to study in John chapter 4 today. I'll read John chapter 4, and then we'll go through it in the little time we have. Try to expound on a little bit. John chapter 4. "Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour, 12 noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink.' For his disciples have gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.' Jesus answered and said to her, 'If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it, as well as his sons and livestock?' Jesus answered and said to her, 'Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw.' Jesus said to her, 'Go call your husband and come here.' The woman said, 'I have no husband.' Jesus said, 'You have told the truth. I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one you're with now is not your husband. You have spoken truly.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Our fathers worship on the mountain. You Jews say to worship in Jerusalem is the place you ought to worship.' Jesus said to her, 'Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on a mountain nor in Jerusalem worship. The Father you worship, what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.' The woman said to him, 'I know that Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things.' Jesus said to her, 'I who speak to you am he.' At this point, his disciples came. They marveled that he talked to a woman. Yet no one said, 'What do you seek?' or 'Why are you talking with her?' The woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, 'Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?' Then they went out to the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." Go down to verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And many more believed because of his own words. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world." The story of the woman at the well. And we'll go through this. Jesus was leaving Judea because his message was getting contrary to the law enforcers. As we read earlier, they required strict obedience to the law. Jesus also was gaining popularity in the land, as we saw earlier. He had more followers than even John the Baptist. And the religious rulers were getting worried. As he said before, early in his ministry, "Do not believe that I have come to destroy the law and the prophets." Well, he said that because they thought he was going to. So they sought to kill him. And it's funny how religion works, isn't it? Religious leaders sought to kill him. It seems to happen a lot in religion. Jesus was going to Galilee to get away from the rulers because his hour had not yet come. But he said, "I must go through Samaria." Samaria was a place where Samaritans lived. Those Samaritans were half Jews. Half Jews, half Greeks. But the religious people taught them to not deal with Samaritans. It's another interesting thing about religion, how it causes racial issues following a religion. And it causes divisions, as we see here. But Jesus says, "I must go through Samaria." It also causes a holier-than-thou attitude, religion does. Self-righteous. And that's how the Pharisees and scribes came off. And that's how many do in our life today. We see that self-righteous attitude. But Jesus, remember, he was training his disciples how to evangelize. The book of John is a book of evangelism. And most of the time they went around. Jesus is training his people that follow him. He's on a mission. He was in the process of training his followers how his message is a barrier breaker and all needed. And they need to learn how to evangelize the world. So instead of following the protocol, he was in process of training his followers. He didn't go around Samaria. He went straight through Galilee. And I'm sure his disciples found this rather strange that he didn't go around Samaria. But they probably also found it exciting. So they've been walking about 30 miles, it says. I figured this out. It was probably 4:30 in the morning they took off. Because he gets to the well around noon. So they're probably traveling early in the morning because it's hot out. If you've ever been to the Middle East, it's hot there. I mean, it's real hot. So his disciples decide to go get food for the rest of the trip. And Jesus says, "I'm going to stay behind." And this was his plan anyway, when he went through Samaria. And there was a well in this town Jacob had dug. And he handed it down to Joseph. The Samaritans took much pride in this well. Jesus, very thirsty from walking, he stops at the well. And it says it's around noon. It's the hot part of the day. And there's a Samaritan woman there drawing water. And Jesus asked her for a drink. See, in this culture, men didn't talk to women in public. So it surprises this woman that he speaks to her. She answers him and says this, "Why do you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." So Jesus must have been dressed like a Jew, must have looked like a Jew, for her to know he was a Jew. It's interesting also, as we were saying, how religion can cause racial barriers, as we see this. "You have no dealing with us Samaritans." The Jews called Samaritans dogs, Greeks dogs, Romans dogs. It's part of the religious strict enforcement of the law, taking out of the context. But Jesus' message is designed to break through all these guidelines and fulfill the law of the book. Notice how Jesus masterfully evangelizes this woman. One by one, he breaks through these man-made traditions. He asks an outsider for a drink. Not only an outsider, but a woman in public. And he has her attention. She also notices that he doesn't have a water pot. So she's assuming that he wants to drink out of her water pot. Listen real close and skillfully what Jesus says to her. "If you recognized God's gift," this is his answer to her, "and who it is saying to you, 'Give me some water to drink,' you would be asking him, and he would give you living water." The woman is thinking in the physical. Are you greater than Jacob? Is your well bigger and better? Jesus doesn't say to her, "No, I'm not greater than Jacob." Because he is. Doesn't say that. He says this: "Whosoever drinks from the well will thirst again, and again, and again. And whosoever drink from this well will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water I give will never thirst again. The water I give will become in those who drink it a fountain of water that springs up to everlasting life." Remember his first response to the woman. "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, 'Give me water,' you would be asking him and he would give you living water." He's a Jew. He's in Samaria with no water pot, asking a woman for water. Jesus has sidestepped the cultural barrier by speaking to a woman in public, and he has torn down the racial barrier also by her being a Samaritan. But she's still thinking in physical terms. She wants this water that needs no pot. She wants this water where she doesn't have to work for it in the hot sun. She wants this water that will quench her thirst forever. She is wondering where everlasting life comes from by just one drink. She's trying to understand what he means. The water that he gives, he is the source of this water. Once drank, it will be in her and become a fountain that springs up into everlasting life. As she reasons this in her mind, she comes to the conclusion, why not? She says, "Sir, give me this water." Jesus, sitting there, has no well, has no utensils, just words. She had asked him earlier if he were greater than Jacob, and he didn't answer it. She's wandering in her mind right now, this living water that needs no pot, that just one drink gives everlasting life, that quenches her thirst forever. Jesus takes her wandering mind and snaps it right back into reality as he goes right off the script. And he says, go get your husband and come back here. Startled at this, she says, I don't have a husband. That is correct, Jesus said. But you have had five husbands, and the one you're shacking up with right now is not your husband either. She must have been a very attractive woman if you think about it. She had five husbands and was living with a guy. But notice Jesus doesn't condemn her for her five husbands and living with one now. Doesn't condemn her sins. Remember, he's training how to evangelize. He doesn't get caught up in her sin issue. He knows he will deal with the sin issue later himself in due time. She needs eternal life, and Jesus masterfully sticks to his mission. Now that he has told the woman her past and present life affairs, I'm sure she's beside herself. She realizes he has prophetic insight, and feeling uncomfortable and embarrassed with too much to grasp, she goes back to the physical and the familiar. Our ancestors worship on this mountain, but you Jews say to worship in Jerusalem. It's a common thing for people who are being witnessed to go back to their heritage. We've been in that situation before. I was raised Muslim, or I'm a Roman Catholic, but I'm Jehovah's Witness. People always think their way is right because they were raised that way. Notice Jesus doesn't coddle her. We have the tendency to compromise with people we're witnessing to on religious things. Jesus has no part in that. He says, believe me, woman, salvation is coming. Salvation here means deliverance. He says it is coming. And now it is. When you and your people will not worship on this mountain, he tells her salvation that is coming and that already is here, is standing right in front of you, per se. And it's from the Jews. It's not from the Greeks. It's not from the Romans. It's not from the Samaritans. He says it's from the Jews. And he's a Jew. He says there's coming a time, and it already is here, where true worshipers will worship in spirit and truth. Not in a physical location. Not in a mountain. Not in a handful of beads. Not on a carpet. But in spirit and truth, Jesus says. Things haven't changed. As Jesus fills her with a message she has not heard before, a new way of worship, she has listened to him tell her of a living water that he gives, and one drink quenches her thirst forever. It is a living water that contains everlasting life once received. He's told her about her past and current situation, where she thinks he's a prophet. She has already asked for living water. But she is still relying on her physical resources. Then she challenges him on her religious issues and his practices of worshiping here, and we worship there. Jesus puts the nail in the coffin and speaks with her with authority and says this to her, you people don't even know what you're worshiping. A pretty powerful statement. He takes her one step farther than that. Now that he got her off the earthly experience, she realizes they have no standing with this man and his powerful message. She reaches for spiritual things. I know Messiah is coming, the one who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will teach us everything. Jesus has took her a long ways already. Racial barriers, religious practices, fountains, no water pots, where she thinks he's a prophet. Now she thinks he has prophetic insight. And now she mentions the Christ, who will teach her everything. He's already told her about her past, present conditions. And at the proper time, Jesus drops the bomb on her. And he says this, I that speak to you am he. It's interesting in the text that it says, right then the disciples come back from the food. He had this planned. Because see, he's teaching his disciples how to witness to the world. Salvation is to the Jews first and then to the Greeks. And that's exactly how the Lord had planned it. They see him talking to a woman, a Samaritan woman at that. And they are shocked. Believe me, they're shocked. But they don't confront him. And she wants no part of them either. It says she left her water pot and went back to the city. After taking a drink of the living water, she goes into the city. And we see that living water in her bubbling up into everlasting life. As she tells the people about her experience, she says this, come see a man that told me. Come see a man that told me. This is the woman who had five husbands. This is the woman who is living with a guy right now. This is the woman, me, who has to get her water at noon. Because she can't go in the morning when the other ladies go. Because she gets ridiculed as a tramp, as a prostitute, belittled. That's why she was there in the hot sun at noon. Come see a man that told me everything I have ever done. A man that didn't condemn me, but loved me, not as other men. Come see a man that told me that salvation not only is coming, but is already available. Come and see a man with a message that was so quenching to my thirst. I want you guys to come and see a man who has a well greater than Jacob's. A man that's well has living water. A man's well that his water once drank gushes up into everlasting life. Could this be the Christ? She doesn't say it in a way where she's questioning it. She has living water in her, folks. And it's springing up into everlasting life. It's the reality that only living water can produce. It says many of the people believed her report on how he told her everything she ever done. It's interesting, John, this same writer, writes later on in the Gospel of John, many other signs did Jesus do that are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and believing you may have life in His name. She got their attention, believe me, with five husbands when she said, "Come see a man that told me everything I ever done." They all wanted to go. They wanted to hear everything she ever done. As the people came out to greet Jesus, He skillfully breaks through all the barriers of race, religion, and culture, and provides a new living way. We see the living water in this woman springing up as she's sharing the good news, and others are drinking the water also. What a testimony Jesus had to His Father. His disciples say this to Him, "Come and eat food. Aren't you hungry?" And He tells them this, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." He's trying to train them how to witness to the world and how there's no boundaries with His message. You know, He's going to break down them boundaries later on. They're going to feel that. They're going to see that. When His hour came, He came to that cross. And He was on that cross. And He said, "It is finished." And an interesting thing happened. There was this tapestry that hung in this Holy of Holies that separated mankind from this high priest. And it was torn from the top to the bottom. 60-foot tall. 3 feet thick. He broke down them barriers. A new living way. And may we learn from the Lord today. And His boldness to reach people that we're not comfortable with. And share the message of Jesus. And the message is the truth. That Jesus is the Christ. He's the Savior of the world. Many people know that message this time of the year, Jesus is the Christ, but what does that mean? The message is living water. And just one drink of it. That drink symbolizes believing. It will be in a person who drinks it. A fountain springing up into everlasting life. Just one drink. His message is, "I am the Christ." That's a truth message. And if you believe it, it symbolizes drinking it. One drink becomes in you a fountain that springs up to everlasting life. You know, everlasting life, it says in John's other gospel, "Whosoever believes in Him has everlasting life." Has everlasting life. The moment they drink of living water. So that's probably you sitting here today. You probably have everlasting life right now. It's not something that happens when you die. It's something that you can experience right now. "I have come that they may have life. Everlasting life. But not that they may have life, but they may have it more abundantly." Let's start living in everlasting life right now. Don't you think so? We've had a lot of funerals around here. We've realized people do die. So let's start experiencing everlasting life right now. What you say? He has more to offer than you can imagine. No water, Pop. No well. No water. It's interesting, she says, she left her water, Pop. Did she ever take a drink of it? Probably not. She drank living water, folks. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank You for this day, and we thank You for the powerful message of John's gospel, how it was written that we may come to know Christ, and by knowing him, we have eternal life. We pray that you'd help us this year to take this living water, this message, and take it to the world as the bride says, come. The Spirit says, come. That we can say, whosoever will, let him come. Take the water of life freely. We pray for this day, those who are sick and set aside. We pray for your word to get into our hearts and minds and transform us. We pray that Jesus' teaching in the gospel can really, really give us insight on what it means to have eternal life. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen.